Hello, listeners, and welcome to Northland Views. Ya ate? This program is brought to you by Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Mary McGrarty Nishley. Happy to have you with us. We'll be reading today from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Let's start with this story from the Navajo Times, Monday, April 15th, 2024, first published online April 11th. Headline: Davina Smith launches second bid for Utah's House District 69, Tuba City's Angie Williams running for Fowler's seat. This story is by Bodera Joe. Dateline, Window Rock, Arizona. Davina Smith and Angie Williams are running for office in their respective districts. For Davina Smith, here's some information. After being defeated by Phil Lyman in 2022, Smith knew she wasn't done. Tse Bing Zi Isgai native is running for the second time in Utah's House District 69 seat, which covers nearly one-third of the Beehive State. From butterflies to being experienced and determined the second time around, Smith has traveled great lengths to ensure she wasn't done, raising almost $200,000 for her campaign in 2022, broadened her horizons of what to expect this year. This year, she hopes to prevail on more teachings and more and understanding of concerns to address the real issues hindering the six counties that make up District 69. She expressed that, if elected, she would focus primarily on the education system in communities, housing, health care, teachers, and support for veterans, all of which have been major focus areas from an Indigenous perspective. As the first Diné woman to run for Utah's legislature, Smith hopes to bring a gravity of change to represent District 69 best. Light vessel. Change began when President Boo Nigrin appointed Davina Smith to sit on the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition. Smith's family has ties to the Bears Ears area, where she grew up. Smith is Tachi'ini and born for Tabaha. Her parents are Roy and Darlene Smith. Smith resides in Blanding, Utah, but her heart lies in Tse Bin Tse Gai, where her Aste'e is buried. Her grandparents are Tillman and Loretta Adakai of Tse Bin Disgai. With nurtured and compelled leadership, Davina Smith expresses the tireless efforts led by the three women in her life. Her late grandmother, Catherine Smith, stood stern and vocal against the Navajo Hopi land dispute and coal extraction in Black Mesa, Arizona. Her late Na'ali, Loretta Adakai, taught her the beauty and purpose of things all around her when herding sheep. And her mother, Darlene Smith, whom Davina describes as her cheerleader and educator for 30 years before she retired as a Navajo language teacher. She, Loretta, would tell me everything in the form of walking in beauty, Davina said. I saw the whole structure of the form of patience when she's putting a rug design together, gathering the colors, telling me what the colors are about, why you take care of your sheep, what the purpose of the sheep provides for us. Running to uplift. Davina Smith believed her grandmothers were her yin and yang, which balanced her childhood and fostered her into the Diné woman she is today, along with her parents, whom she thanks for paving the way for her to embark on many roles. As the eldest of four sisters, Smith said their father, originally from Big Mountain, Arizona, a coal mine operator, union president, welder, and now a trail boss, taught his daughters how to work outside by chopping wood and hauling water. Even as a former barrel racer, Smith said her father helped load her horse trailer and taught her the importance of horses. As a trail boss, her father has been involved in trail rides that bring awareness to the community, and she expresses that many people know him because of that. Everyone gave me a learning experience, Smith said. She carries herself where her shoes meet the dirt. and as an avid runner, she embraces her upbringing of running for medicine. Doing something with our body and connecting to Mother Earth is all about rejuvenation, she added. I've been running to uplift the voices around me, running to sustain my body and mind, running to nurture the community I love, and now I'm running for Utah House of Representatives for District 69. She added she would love nothing more than a better future for the district. Smith said her former opponent, Phil Lyman, is not seeking re-election and is now running for Utah governor. Thus far, Logan James Monson, Lynn Jackson, and Douglas K. Heaton are the other three candidates running for Utah's District 69. Angie Williams. Angie Williams has always lived by her grandfather's motto, for the people and by the people. She believes she has lived up to the expectation of being an exemplary leader when the Tuba City Go-Getter served on many platforms in leadership roles, which led her to run for Coconino County's District 5 supervisor. My perspective is to always improve and strengthen direct services from early childhood development to elders, said Williams, who is Tse Deshkizni and born for Bi Bitodni. Her maternal grandfather is Tanij Hani, and her paternal grandfather is Kiyani. Her parents are Keith and Antoinette Katso from Tuba City. Her grandparents are Clark and Alma Katso from Howell Mesa and Cedar Ridge near Bottaway Gap, Arizona. The Coconino County Board of Supervisors consists of 5 members elected by the district for 4 years per term. It establishes the county's administrative policy and direction. Additionally, the board oversees all county departmental budgets to ensure revenues are expended within the established guidelines. Trekking across communities. Angie Williams is familiar with the field as policy and guidelines are memorized like the back of her hand. She served 12 years as a Tonon Des Dizzy official, over 25 years as a Navajo Tribal Employee Department of Health, 8 years as board president with Gray Hills Academy High School, 1 year as vice president with Diné Grant School Association, and 1 year as regional school board with Western Navajo Agency. She earned her bachelor's in nursing from the University of New Mexico and has clinical knowledge, management skills, and community knowledge. She has a seen it, been there, done that, let's do more approach. She believes she could do more as she seeks to explore outside of Tonanes Dizi. Her upbringing embodies the chapter atmosphere where policies are important. At a young age, her late grandfather Clark Keitso paved the way for his son Gerald Keitso, who has served for 12 years as the Tonanes Dizi chapter president and is the current Western Navajo Agency Council president. With all her experience, Williams believes that she hopes to help maximize health services and strengthen the education system in the District 5 communities. Those communities include Flagstaff, Doney Park, Fredonia, Marble Canyon, Page, Lychee, Coppermine, Bitter Springs, Bottaway Gap, Cameron Gray Mountain, Tuba City, and Caibito. Community beautification. Women have always been in leadership, Angie Williams believes. She expresses that women are leaders in their households, the support beams that provide input and ideas, and that today, 9 women serve on the Navajo Nation Council. Reaching high has been Williams' approach with a win-win solution. This would involve reviewing policies, budgets, and resources to generate the best resolution. Her visits to off-reservation communities were different as non-natives were present, and Williams thoroughly explained who she is with clanship and Diné values and teachings. However, she said she'd like to expand across the Navajo Nation and border towns to build partnerships because, in her recent travels, she heard the community's concerns about road improvements and road signs, which she expressed as a long-time concern needing to be addressed. These concerns would require a partnership with council delegates, as the majority of the communities in District 5 are in Dine Bikeya. Being effective has led Williams to advocate for economic development by supporting small businesses, entrepreneurs, existing businesses, and infrastructure, which the pandemic had closed or paused potential projects and left communities ravenous for more opportunities. Although the journey continues, Williams said she had to meet signature requirements of a minimum of 121 and a maximum of 1,247. Williams is still in the phase of visiting the communities and presenting herself to the people. Coconino County District 5 Supervisor Lena Fowler is running for re-election. The other candidate running for the seat is Mari Akothli. Now, another article from the Navajo Times of Monday, April 15th, this first published online on April 10th by the staff of the Navajo Times. Dateline, Fort Defiance. The Navajo Tribal Utility Authority, in partnership with the American Public Power Association, has officially launched Light Up Navajo 5. This year, 42 electric utility companies from 16 states will participate in the Light Up Navajo 5 initiative, which runs from April 7th to July 20th. Over 250 electric line workers will be traveling to the Navajo Nation over the next few months to help connect the homes of Navajo families to the electric grid. The goal is to connect at least 200 homes. Visiting line workers will be working with Navajo Tribal Utility Authority electric crews. The visiting crews represent utilities located all over the U.S., including Alabama, Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Massachusetts, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Oregon, Oklahoma, Utah, Texas, Washington, and Wisconsin. This week, the Light Up Navajo 5 crews are from the Salt River Project in Phoenix and the Grand River Dam Authority from Oklahoma. They are working on projects in the tribal communities of Dilcon and St. Michael's, Arizona, and Nachiti and Tohatchi, New Mexico. Each week, they will be working on shovel-ready projects. In 2023, 26 utility companies from 16 states sent their electric crews to participate in Light Up Navajo 3, which extended electric power to 159 homes from April to July of 2023. We are grateful for the outside utilities who want to help bring positive change for families waiting for electricity, said Navajo Tribal Utility Authority General Manager Walter Haas. The communities these utilities represent learned about our challenges and were prompted to be part of this dramatically meaningful project. Light Up Navajo was created through a partnership with the American Public Power Association. That association has a mutual aid program that sends electric crews to areas hit by natural disasters, like hurricanes and tornadoes. When these events occur, utility companies send crews to assist with power restoration. The concept was presented to American Public Power Authority members. Light Up Navajo has become a unique mutual aid initiative that has brought together utility companies that represent public power, rural cooperatives, and independent system operators, such as the Public Service Company of New Mexico and Arizona Public Service. Together, the visiting line workers will help to provide families with the basic modern conveniences made possible by electricity, such as lighting, heating, air conditioning, and refrigerated food. With electricity, the families can also prepare for water and broadband services, Haas said. Light Up Navajo fulfills the ultimate goal to help make life easier and helps lift the burden for many families. We hope all those projects are successful. Now we move to the headline story from the Navajo Hopi Observer from Wednesday, April 10th. Headline, Pages Across the Rez. NDN Girls Book Club partners to bring books and more across Navajo and Hopi reservations. This article is by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Dateline, Tuba City, Arizona. What is Pink has four wheels and contains millions of words. A massive pink truck filled with more than 10,000 native books for people of all ages traveling across the Navajo and Hopi nations. NDN Book Club partnered with the SBI Giving Foundation to distribute the books, goodies, and literary entertainment to areas across the Navajo and Hopi reservations, often called book deserts, April 1st through 5th. The Pink Truck, nicknamed Pinky the Resmobile by the Indian girls, was emblazoned with a graphic of a native girl reading under a rainbow on its sides with the words Ilta, book drop, meaning I read it. Navajo Nation Vice President Richelle Montoya, Miss Navajo Nation Amy Ann Reeves Begay, and performer Rodmila Cody helped kick off that Yilta tour at the Navajo Nation Library in Window Rock on April 1st. The tour continued across the state to the Hopi Public Library in Kekyotsmovi and Loop Chapter House April 2nd, Tuba City April 3rd, Monument Valley April 4th, and finished up at the Dene College Library in Shiprock, New Mexico, April 5th. At Change Labs eHub in Tuba City, a perfect sunny day made for the largest crowd on the tour, where people lined up not just for free book, but zines, calendars, bookmarks, and even socks and shoes. Vendors sold crafts and coffee. Abalone Press founder Amber McCrary emceed the event. A Tuba City High School Navajo dance group performed, and writers Eric Bitsui, Tyler Mitchell, Suksavanti Keorvana Booth, and Kiana Joe read some of their work. We didn't expect for people to come flooding out, said Indian Girls Book Club founder Kinslake Drake. I mean, we expected people to be excited because we've done this work for so long at this point, but these have definitely been the biggest events we've done. Drake, 24, was racing around the Tuba City pop-up in her pink Yilta t-shirt and ribbon skirt, helping to unpack boxes, making sure the performers were queued up and checking in with her aunt, who came to help from Navajo Mountain, Utah, where Drake spent much of her childhood. At the past events we've had, we've typically given out 400 or 500 books per event, just because that's as much as our cars can hold, Drake said. Drake knew that with the assistance of the truck, more people could be served. She thought that 10,000 books would be equivalent to at least one new book in every household on the reservation. So that's our hope with numbers. That's where we came from, she said. One thing they didn't realize would happen, but love that it did, was for school groups to make impromptu field trips to get books. At Hopi, they just walked over from their classrooms because their school's right there. At Loop, they just got all the kids on the bus and they came down from the boarding school dorms, she said. The kids have been so excited. I think most of all excited about how beautiful the books are. They're all new. It's hard to get that many new books into places that are book deserts. The fact that all the books distributed were from native authors made it even more exciting. Of course, in school, curriculums don't prioritize native literature. And so the other thing is we're making sure it's native and Navajo writers front and center, she said. You can take as many books as you want and you can share them with people that you're going and that are going to go home with them after the event. Drake said she hopes the books will journey across the reservations as they are shared between children. She said some of the kids gasped when they saw the covers of books they were going to get, especially those from Salina Bookshelf, such as Running with Changing Woman, and the bilingual The Three Little Sheep, Dibe Yazitago Bahane. The baby books were completely out of. Those are all really, really popular because people love how pretty they are. And of course, it's also in Navajo, so the elders love it. They can read to the kids, and the kids can learn Navajo, Drake said. It wasn't just school children that showed up to the pop-ups, but elders and many families with babies. Kelly Wood, executive director for Cellular One's new SBI Giving Foundation, said one of the things the foundation wanted to do was celebrate Cellular One's 30th anniversary in the Four Corners area by giving back and helping fund a need in the local communities. We wanted to help families build in-home libraries with a variety of books for all age groups. So that's what we have on the tour with us. We have books for pre-K kids all the way up to adult books, Wood said. Our objective was to help to bring culturally relevant books that can help families to build libraries and just really preserve culture and language. Wood said SBI reached out to Indian Book Club and collaborated with Abalone Mountain Press and For Kinship, a Diné-owned sustainable artwear brand, to bring the books and other products to the reservation. All of us together worked through our various networks and contacts, and we were able to purchase at a deep discount and a combination of donations with publishers all across the country, over 10,000 books written by Native authors, Wood said. She highlighted that the attendance figures, with approximately 1,000 in Window Rock and 250 in Loop, demonstrate a tangible need. Cellular One doesn't just focus on straight-up technology. We want to make sure we're meeting the needs of people in some really neat and creative, meaningful ways, Wood said. Indian Girls Book Club. Drake founded the nonprofit Indian Girls Book Club upon graduating from Yale University in 2022. I did my thesis on retaining Native students in higher education, she said. A lot of the things that go into retaining students are things that are pillars of book clubs. So part of my thesis was drafting an organization, actually putting it together and putting the website together. Drake took the idea, created Indian Girls Book Club, making sure the book club was attractive to Native youth. I knew I wanted it to be cute, Drake said. We wanted to get kids excited. We wanted to have a nice merch. It was always about working with artisans, uplifting Native women and queer artists. Drake added the organization also wanted to promote youth writers. We also do writing workshops. For free, she said. We always do events for free for Native youth, and we also do virtual workshops and things like that. So it's very holistic. It's a Diné philosophy. NDN has partnered with universities around the country and Indigenous schools, authors, and booksellers to encourage Native literacy nationwide. In February 2023, NDN was featured in Teen Vogue with a photo shoot and interview. Drake herself has appeared in Time magazine after becoming the first Native American National Student Poet at 17. She has also won more poetry awards and completed 30 other print and filmed interviews since. Drake has been writing and reading since she was a small child and originally thought of the book club idea as a girl. My parents love collecting books for us, so we have this bookshelf at Navajo Mountain just full of these amazing children's books that we would find at yard sales or just shopping, she said. I just love going out and reading and being with the land. That's my hope, too, is that kids have a chance to do that. Drake will continue her literary journey this fall, starting her Master's in Fine Arts in Poetry at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. But that doesn't mean she'll be abandoning her role at Indian. It's 3 years paid, and I chose it because it would allow me the freedom to keep doing this, she said. They support you when you go to travel to events like this. A primary aim of Indian is to inspire Indigenous children to explore creative paths, similar to the opportunities Drake was able to pursue when she was young. I think when they don't see the books that are written by Natives, they don't know that's a real possibility for them, Drake said. We wish her good luck, and good luck to all who participate with Indian Book Club. Now, a short notice about a prize winner for Native art. This by the staff of the Navajo Hopi Observer in the April 10th issue. Headline, Navajo Quilt Project co-founder wins Arts Fellowship. Dateline, Washington, D.C. The National Endowment for the Arts announced recipients of its Fellowship for Folk and Traditional Arts. Every year since 1982, the NEA has presented this lifetime honor in recognition of individuals whose dedication and artistry contribute to the preservation and growth of the diverse cultural traditions that comprise our nation. Each fellowship includes a $25,000 award, and the recipients will be honored in Washington, D.C. in fall 2024. Among the 10 recipients is Susan Hudson, Diné, a quilter from Sheep Springs, New Mexico. Hudson was taught to sew by her mother, Dorothy Woods, when she was 9 years old. Hudson's pictorial quilts honor her ancestors and the proud history of the Navajo people using a crossover style inspired by ledger art. Hudson's clans are Towering House people, Apache people, Water Edge people, and Mexican people. Hudson's mother, Dorothy Woods, as well as her grandmothers, were forced to learn sewing in boarding schools where there was little tolerance for mistakes. When Hudson was 9 years of age, her mother taught her how to sew out of necessity, as they were quite poor and couldn't afford to buy clothes. Hudson learned to alter donated clothes and make quilts out of the scraps. Hudson's quilting became an income stream when she began making star quilts for Indian powwows and giveaways at the request of Ben Nighthorse Campbell, a former U.S. senator from Colorado. Senator Campbell encouraged her to break away from making traditional star quilts, and she soon developed her own artistic voice with contemporary ledger art quilts. We congratulate Susan Hudson, winner of a very prestigious national award, and we know her work will bring consciousness of a distinctive and creative Native art form with her own very special and inspired input. We wish her success. Thank you so much for listening. That's all the time we have. Ahehe, listeners, this has been Northland Views, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona, with your volunteer reader, Mary McGroarty. Hagone.